Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. A God who has instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us to be wise in what is right, and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Chapter 1. The Dialogue of the Saints. What led to the birth of my letter. My dear brothers and sisters, I write from paradise. Because God is a furnace of love for you, he's asked me to compose a letter and drop it as a postcard from heaven, as if it was my heart. More than that, he has entrusted me with the task of guiding you through these challenging days when the light of both divine truth and human reason seem to be fading. God desires that you flourish in this moment, even amid the minefield of crises in the family, the church, and your deeply divided world. Through the example of my life in Ars, I will show you how. I am the curé of Ars, Jean-Marie Baptiste Vianney, a chosen priest in the line of Melchizedek, an unspectacular and simple man born in the quiet countryside where the soil bore the blood of newly martyred French saints. Of all God's priest saints, I am among the most unlettered and the most unusual, and by the world standards, even the most unsightly. To some, I seem like a cassock dunce. Even in seminary, I was a misfit, a low IQ, bottom of the class student, but one with perseverance and abiding love for Jesus. They whispered about my poor head, and yet they couldn't ignore the clear light in my eyes or the quiet and mysterious peace that surrounded me, so they mostly left me to my own devices. In Ars, my skin and bones parish and town perfectly matched my countenance. It was shabby, undistinguished, and unmemorable. My bishop and brethren saw it as the rightful fit for someone like me, a forgettable man of low expectations and little consequence, to begin as a pastor. No one in Ars really knew what to make of me when I arrived that winter day in 1818. But late one evening, a farmer who had fallen away from the faith saw a flash of light in my parish church. He sneaked in and saw a gaunt figure quietly weeping before a candle. The following day, word spread to Ars's 60 or so families. This one is not like the others, he told them. He did not know that I had been begging God that night for the conversion and recovery of Ars's souls. It is quite a task to be a homeschooled seminarian, one who was expelled from seminary 3 times for poor grades, to offer words of wisdom to a generation 165 years after my death. But just as our Father has, at various times, sent our Queen to visit, instruct, and warn his people, he has sent me to do the same for you. Or, in modern terms, he's called me to coach you for this moment. Often it is the poor, the sickly, and the least among us that God calls to prophesy, to bring light in times of darkness. I am but another piece of God's kindling, meant to fuel the fire he intends to ignite in your technologically fragmented society and in the scandal-haunted church to which we both belong. Although God has asked me to coach and counsel you, I know that many of your bishops, clergy, Catholic intellectuals, and formators do not welcome it. In paradise, St. Philomena has revealed it to me. I smile now, dear reader, imagining you asking, who is Philomena? Allow me to briefly share her story, for it is vital that you understand how the ancient child martyr became the muse and guiding light of my entire priesthood. When I was 15, the tiny skeleton of Philomena was discovered in a forgotten corner of the Roman catacomb of Priscilla. I was told that the bones of the decapitated girl lay beside a vial of dried blood and an image of an anchor and a palm, 3 sacred symbols of her willingness to die for Jesus Christ. In that instant of awareness, something profound happened. Philomena seemed to travel through the mysteries of time and pour into my then timid soul. A light blinked on, a sacred light that never faded. It was on that day that I resolved to become a priest with the native strength and unblinking courage of Philomena. If ordained, I would try to carry her as an icon into my priesthood. She would be the red martyr in blood, I, the white, through priestly asceticism. Though I call upon her intercession daily in Ars, she remained a mystery in my time. My dear little saint is no longer a mystery. the Wonder Worker, has made many visitations since her discovery at the turn of the 19th century. Her story has become widely known. In brief, it is this. After resisting the sexual advances of the Roman Emperor Diocletian, he subjected her to a series of tortures. She was scourged and dragged through town, then thrown into deep waters with anchors tied around her. After she surfaced, minutes later, alive, soldiers were ordered to fasten her to a tree and to shoot arrows into her. Mystifyingly, Philomena survived yet again. Therefore, Diocletian ordered her head to be removed. The fruits of her brief yet startlingly brave life have echoed far beyond her tomb. Today, Philomena's name is glorified in heaven. On earth, she was revered throughout the priesthoods of Saints Padre Pio, Louis de Montfort, Peter Julian Aimard, and other holy men and women. In a particular way, my muse brought countless miracles and conversions to ours through my priesthood. It is she, my tortured friend, who has inspired this letter. So yes, in paradise, the lioness Philomena revealed to me that many clergy will read my words as little more than a horse and buggy pastoral approach, something the church has thankfully outgrown and moved past. A growing number of this modern set have recategorized my care for the welfare of souls as antiquated, or worse, a priestly hazard harmful to their physical and emotional well-being. The tender memories of Ars's revival, its wholesale renewal into a town of willing saints, have mostly been locked away behind presbytery doors. This is disheartening to God, especially since Pope Pius XI in 1929 declared me to be the model and patron saint of the very priests who regard what unfolded in Ars as pious folklore. But no, behind that locked rectory door is a still beating heart and the answer that will motivate priests to enter into this time of moral collapse. The sacred secrets of overcoming widespread apathy to the Catholic faith and sparking a revival are buried like thousands of pearls in the soil and story of Ars. But still, why has God called me, a branch pulled from the fire of seemingly doomed seminary days, to elucidate on ways to bring renewal to the West? I could barely read or even form a proper sentence until I was 17. I will tell you now how this letter came about. A cosmic event broke my heart and God's. In 2018 and 2019, when tens of thousands of you, God's faithful, knelt to venerate my incorrupt heart at chapels, shrines, parishes, and basilicas across the United States. Never in the history of your country has so sweeping a dirge risen to paradise as it did then. As the Knights of Columbus reverently carried my heart from state to state, it broke again and again. You came in waves of anguish. Many of you poured out your grief over a single sorrow. You told God, through me, that you had lost your children and loved ones to the world. With blurred eyes and clenched hands, you implored in fierce whispers, "St. John Vianney, go to God. Beg for my children. The world has stolen them. But also find my brothers and sisters, parents, friends, and the hopeless and confused." In a dimension you cannot see, your pleas, a torrent of sorrow, fear, and loneliness, covered the circumference of heaven. You begged for your little lambs, your children who'd been lured into the Western world's choking smoke of minimalism, indifference, wokeism, dark ideologies, and the spiritualities of madness. You pleaded and prayed for those close to you, those with whom you share a bond of family, community, work, and yes, even baptism. God turned to me in paradise then. He stood next to Philomena. The image God and my patron saint standing side by side brought tears to my eyes and a lump in my throat. God softly spoke a few words to Philomena, who then turned her gaze to me. God had sent the little martyr to guide me once again. It was my muse who spoke the words that prompted this correspondence. "Dear Jean Marie, they mourn for their lost ones," she said, staring intensely into my glistening eyes. "Beneath this cry, though, is another longing. One for you." "Philomena," I shifted my gaze. "My Lord and my God," I implored, "explain to this dim soul." God looked at me with tenderness, then nodded to Philomena, who continued, "O Curé, they plead for shepherds who will stand firm and fight against Satan's attempts to claim and corrupt souls," she said. "Deep down, these parents understand that the bridegroom has always sought out lost lambs, but they cannot find priests with magnanimous hearts like yours, those with a parental and pastoral impulse to save souls at any cost. I stood speechless, my tongue tied. In the silence, as I took to heart God's commission, my little guide began summoning priests from the heavenly court. Momentarily, Damon the Leper, Pope Peter, Maximilian Kolbe, John Bosco, Philip Neri, Pio, John Newman, Francis de Sales, and Patrick stood before me and God. They too had been shaken by the plaintive cries from the reliquary of my heart. The child martyr leveled her gaze over each of the saints and spoke firmly. The Father has gathered us to discuss a letter he is asking the Holy Cure to write to grieving parents, to those whose children turn away from the sacraments, to those whose friends and family have wandered away from God. As priest-saints, God has urged that you speak plainly and with precision, so that together we may strengthen Jean-Marie for the mission entrusted to him by the Father. The curé must know the stakes of the spiritual war he's been asked to address. His task is to bring the sweet fire of his priesthood in ours into the open hearts of faithful parents, indeed of all those who love heaven more than they love earth. God remained silent, allowing Philomena's words to settle deep in the souls of the priest-saints. After a period of silence, the little lioness explained, "Before we exchange thoughts on the curé's task, we must discuss what led these faithful disciples to kneel in looming despair before the curé's heart, and what has led myriads of both young and wearied Catholic souls to leave the faith." The priest-saints squared their shoulders, nodding like infantrymen ready for war. In heaven, each had come to regard Philomena as a gladiator. Each of us stood in silence, deferring to the martyr pope. Yet Peter, too, remained mute. He knew that Philomena's presence and words would set the stage for what had remained, until now, an unspoken topic in paradise, the piecemeal re-engineering and softening of the ministerial priesthood. God nodded at the wonder worker, then Philomena spoke once again. Never in Christendom's history do faithful parents and sincere followers of Christ lament as they do today. Their mournful symphony rises to heaven like the incense of the dead. The Church in the West has failed in her mandate to kill the wolf of modernism Pope Pius X warned of more than a century ago. Satan has used the gap in the wall to chase legions of children into the thick woods of confusion, where their power to reason is met by the gauntlet of modern educators who lead them astray. Relativists, entertainers, Marxists, Luciferians, pagans, and the like. Even the young ones who've managed to escape are awash in a septic current which has flooded their often unformed souls. But it is not only children and adolescents who suffer beneath the weight of the culture. Many adults, too, have lost the power of reason. Countless millions of them do not pray. We do not speak of it in heaven, but the sexual revolution and sexual identity crisis are killing souls. Although the demons steal souls through modern technological devices, many parents give them to their children as unlimited use toys, which befall their tender souls in the fashion of Ouija boards. The martyr paused and a chill filled the space. God's eyes had become fiery orbs. The priest-saints and I looked down at heaven's floor, afraid of his countenance, but Philomena stood erect and sympathetically studied the Father's face. We dared to lift our heads when a rumbling began to shake the heavens and we beheld paradise bathed in a red light that stretched as far as we could see. The wisdom in Peter's quiet deference was silently admired by the priest-saints and me. Philomena's plain-spokenness established the tone of our dialogue and shaped the words of my letter. God turned to me and looked at me with tender expectation before looking to Philomena once more. "Priests," she exclaimed, "when these parents cry out for their children, when these lonely and discouraged faithful cry out for their families, friends, and neighbors, they cry for Jean-Marie. They want a man willing to give away his life like a log meant for the fire, yet too many priests have chosen their own comfort over the fight." The brave-hearted child paused, her eyes flashing. "As priests, each of you embraced your vocation in the trenches of spiritual war. You understood comfort was a form of corruption, and you fought it off ruthlessly as if it was Satan himself." Today's reading comes from the new Scepter book, Coached by the Curé, Lessons in Shepherding with St. John Vianney, Chapter 1.